I like it. I like it. Get your Bibles out this morning. Colossians chapter number 1. In your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 1. That's in the New Testament. Colossians chapter number 1. I want to call your attention to verse number 23 for our time that we have together today. With the help of God, I want to speak on some qualities of a church planner. And there's a lot of different qualities of a church planner, but I believe this verse would speak of several of those qualities. I believe God wants to do a great work in our heart, and I believe God wants some of you, it would be ideal if all of us had this idea, but I believe God wants some of you to be like Caleb of old and say, I want that mountain. You know why some of us don't get what we want? Because we don't want anything. Maybe today there'll be a young man, there'll be a young lady, there'll be a couple that will say, I want to build a church for Christ. You're never going to get it if you don't want it. And it's going to take something. And I believe this text bears out that truth. And I'm thrilled to be back here during these times. I love your pastor. He's my friend. We talk at least once, maybe twice a month through text. Just as a parenthesis, you should have some prayer partners in the ministry. You should have some people that you text back and forth, not trash text, substantive text, like I'm praying for you. I love you. I care about you. God's got this. Some substantive text that will do something, that will fire you up on a cloudy day, that will make the sun shine a little bit brighter when you think it's duller. May God help us. I love Pastor Wilkerson and his staff here. God bless you for your investment. God wants to do something today. Thank you, Pastor, for that great message on faith. My favorite subject in all the Bible. I thought I might speak on it until he spoke on it. I love it. And thank you for that great word. Your Bible's open to Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 23. If you're there, say, I'm there. The Bible says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Isn't that a great phrase? Grounded and settled. And the Bible says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What does that tell us? And be not moved away. You saying, is it possible to be moved away? Oh, it's happening everywhere. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And then this closing statement of this great text, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Our Father in heaven, we need you. Help us. Lord, I am very sensitive the more I preach of how I will stand and give an account for what I'm about to say. May those that are listening today realize that they will stand and give an account for what they're about to hear. Speak to us, God. In Christ's name, amen. As you're being seated, I want to speak this morning for the few minutes that we have together on spiritual maturity. One of the greatest qualities that can be found in any Christian, one of the greatest qualities that can be found in any Christian, but especially church planners, is spiritual maturity. The book of Colossians is teaching us this grand and glorious truth, and this text of Scripture that I have chosen for our Bible time that we have together this morning is amplifying it even more. It's using several different words, but two of the words that this text is using are the words that I want to deal with today, this idea of being grounded and settled. Spiritual maturity. If there's something that I have noticed in the 29 years of our ministry that I have been involved in, the 22 years that I've been in Maine, if there's something that I have noticed yo-yo Christians. They're up, they're down. They're up, they're down. I'm simply calling them yo-yo Christians. Someone else might call them roller coaster Christians. It seems as though that they are building their life on emotions, not on the truths and the doctrines of the eternal Word of God. It seems to me like feelings are ruling their lives, not facts. If you've been saved any length of time, you've got up on one cold, cloudy winter morning and had not maybe felt saved, but it didn't change the fact of what Jesus Christ did whenever we called on His name. The Bible says that He gave us a life that will never end. It calls it eternal life, everlasting life. I said this morning, I'm saved, saved, saved. I'll never be lost. I'm saved. But I don't always feel that way. Sometimes I don't feel saved. Maybe it's emotions, maybe it's feelings, maybe it's a message that didn't go over well. Maybe it's a counseling situation that I struggled with or someone else is struggling with, but it doesn't change the fact of the eternal Word of God. I'm saved and saved forevermore. But oftentimes in our life, we don't grow in maturity. My dear friends, growing up is one of the most exciting things that I remember as a kid. I can remember growing up, I was born in Lakeland, Florida. My mom and dad got saved under the ministry of Dr. J.B. Buffington. There was a missionary on furlough that moved beside our home on Enterprise Street. I was one when that happened. My mom and dad tell the story of a missionary on furlough that came and moved in beside of them, but the missionary may have been on furlough from the mission field, but he was not on furlough from the Lord. For he came next door and witnessed to my mom and my mom and dad got gloriously saved. And we grew up in church, and my dad had a bus route then. That church in that time in the 70s was running 20-something buses. My dad had his own bus route, visited all day on Saturday, picked up kids and dropped off kids all day on Sunday, and the other times of the week he was a paint and body man. I grew up as being the super bubble guy, back when you could actually buy a super bubble piece of bubble gum and it would fill your mouth up. Now, you don't even know you have a piece in your mouth. Back when they were big, I can remember giving the super bubble. I'm talking growing up. Growing up was so exciting. And the book of Ecclesiastes talks about our youth and how thrilling it is to experience all the things that happen in our youth. I can remember my first big wheel. You're all trying to get a car. I can remember the first big wheel. Remember the big wheels when we had them. And I can remember big wheel racing. Those were exciting days. I can remember the flat spot on the tires from wearing out the plastic tire. I can remember growing up. I remember my first bicycle. And I can remember the training wheels on the back. Maybe some of you still have those on your bike. But anyway, I remember the training wheels. And I can still hear the sound of the wrenches when my father took the training wheels off and sent me on my way. And I can remember the first time I rode on two wheels and not four. How thrilling it was. And I can remember the first wheelies that I did on my bicycle and the first spin outs. And I can remember as you growing up, I'm talking growing up was so exciting as a kid. It was so thrilling. I remember the first go-kart I had and how I figured out that if I tied a string to this little wire in the back of the engine, I could make it go faster. I can remember my dad telling me, that's a governor, son. That's a governor. If you rev the engine up, you'll blow the engine. It didn't mean a whole lot other than it made it go real fast. I can remember tying a string to the engine and the thrills of having a go-kart. And I can remember getting bigger and getting a motorcycle and a dirt bike and jumping big cliffs and having the time of my life. I can remember getting my first car and how thrilling it was. And my dad told me, he said, I'll pay for your insurance or help you pay until you have a situation or until you get a ticket. That lasted 2 weeks. I did something no one should ever do. I ran a school bus stop sign. But we were racing to school and it was cool until the cop came to my house and almost put me in jail. Those were wonderful days. That day wasn't a wonderful day. But those were wonderful days. Exciting days. Pretty humbling when your girlfriend has to take you to work and drop you off. Pretty humbling whenever people have to tell you, did you lose your license? Do you need a liquor sickle to drive around? That's what we call mopeds. Those were wonderful days. Those were exciting days. You're growing up and you go through the car. I used to have a Volkswagen Bug. I called it, it was red. I called it the Firefly. And I had a truck. It was lowered down, had moon rims. You would have thought it would have went 300 miles an hour. It barely went 30. Had a truck with 32 groundhog tires on it and a big quadrajet, 350 horsepower engine with a bandana around the mirror. Boy, you really thought life was cool. I was growing up. It was exciting. But I want to share something with you this morning in the few minutes that we have left. Growing up and becoming mature in Christ is the most exciting thing you can ever be involved in. You may think growing up and coming to college and all of those things you've experienced is something, but growing in Christ is some of the most exciting things you'll ever experience in life. I want to ask you this morning, dear friend, are you mature? Are you stable? Are you grounded and settled in Christ? Some of you that aren't, apart from the grace of God, you'll become a statistic. Maybe sooner rather than later. We must experience maturity. And there's only one that can do that, and that's the Lord. And look at some truths here this morning that will help us as we think about church planting. Who's going to cheer you on when you go? Who's going to cheer you on whenever you plan for 50 and you have two? We started a church in Northern Maine, established it, left it with a pastor, 125 people in Northern Maine, 100 on Wednesday night with a full choir. God was moving in supernatural ways in Northern Maine. Went to another town, started a church, and nobody came for 3 months. I knocked on 100 doors a day. The only thing I could think about is the church that we had left that had all those people. Excuse me, in those 3 months, my family came. Have you ever realized how awkward it is preaching just to your family? I'm not talking about family devotions. I'm talking about trying to have a service. You know, you try to put on a show like, sit up straight, we're in church. Sitting on a couch doesn't feel like church to me. My family came. We took up the offering. The kids sang. I preached, and during that 3 months, there's only two visitors that came, and they were crazy people. My wife says I attract them. They were nutcases. I mean, I wanted to see them saved, but I didn't want them to come back at night and slit my throat. Crazy people. Nothing happening. 100 doors a day. Nothing happening. Who's going to cheer you on whenever it's like that? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be mature in Christ. And you're going to do what God's called you to do. Even if you don't even see any fruit, you're going to do what's right. Amen. And you're just going to stay at it. And you're going to do the right thing. And you're going to keep reading the Bible. You're going to keep studying the Bible. You're going to keep spending time with God. You're going to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You're going to keep knocking on doors. You're not going to compromise because all the modern churches are growing bigger because they're compromising. God's not changed. His word's not changed. And we must not change. Stick with it. Stick with the old past. Stay with the book. Don't compromise it. We're living in a day of such compromising, pansy, sissified Christianity. We need some young men and some young women that have God on them and that will go to that place and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay until the Lord builds a work. And then after he even builds the work, I'm going to stay and see it grow in maturity. May God help us. I want you to look here at closing the last 5 minutes that I have. Notice here the possibility of being grounded and settled, this great quality of church planting. Notice the first word of verse number 23. He says, if ye continue in the faith. The great possibility of spiritual maturity is real. It is very possible. My daughter, some of you may follow her on social media sites, but she just had her colon removed. We spent 4 stints in the hospital. Last one was in Portland, Maine, but we was at Boston Children's for 10 days. And the doctor said, outside of a miracle, we will have to remove your daughter's colon. It was dangerous a couple times. They were sensing that there was going to be a rupture. And I remember whenever I made the decision, because I didn't sense the care was the proper care, I didn't have peace about what was going on. I can remember the 4 o'clock in the morning watching my daughter writhe in pain. And I can remember waking up the family and saying, pack your bags. And they said, where are we going? I said, get in the car. We're headed to Boston, Massachusetts. We're headed to the number one children's hospital in the world. And they said, what are we going to do? We've not been invited. We're not due to be there until tomorrow. I said, we're headed there. You know why? Because whatever it takes to make for sure our children are healthy, that's what we want. And that's the attitude that we ought to have one for another. That's the attitude that we have for ourselves. Whatever it takes for us to be a healthy, mature believer in Christ, that's what we're going to do. The Bible says, if ye continue in the faith, it's possible to become grounded and settled. Very possible. But for some of you, it's not, because you're just not interested. Can I encourage you this morning to repent of that attitude? That's not a good attitude to have. Has anybody ever looked at you and said, you need an attitude adjustment? Maybe God will do that to us this morning and bring us to a place where we realize, I'm not going to make it in life with this up, down, unstable Christianity that I'm living in. I need to become mature in Christ. It's very possible. Notice he says, if ye continue in the faith. You know what I've found through the years? That it's so easy to just quit. Oh yeah, simple. It's 2 words. I quit. Wow, that was hard. That was very, very difficult. I quit. But I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a man of God and a woman of God to continue in the faith. And that's the great possibility of being grounded and settled. Notice the people of this text. If ye continue in the faith. I'm looking at the people here in this text. Notice the process. If ye continue. And then the great prize of this passage of Scripture, as it says here, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. God made Paul a minister. There was a great objective in this passage. And that's what God wants to take place in all of our lives. And I'm praying this morning that some of you possibly have heard that New England is the graveyard of missions. Maybe the word has got out that New England is the graveyard of missionaries. I'm here to report to you, That's wrong. That's absolutely not true. In the 22 years that we've been there, just two Sundays ago, we had the distinct joy of starting our eighth church. God is moving in supernatural ways. If I could have brought some of our people from across the state here, and they were to flank this platform, and they would come tell their stories, they would all ultimately have the same stories. Their backstories would be different. One would be of, I used to be in the Hell's Angels. One would be, I used to run a corporation, and I was thinking that that was the life I needed to live. One would say I was a drug dealer, and I spent 10 years in jail. People made fun of me at my church when I got on a little go-ped. I had a go-ped with, I don't know if you know what they are, but it's a scooter with a little weed whacker engine on the back of it. I tied balloons around my belt strap, and I went driving up and down the community trying to get kids to come to Sunday school. I said, you go ahead and hate on my method, but I'll bring more kids to Bible school than you bring. And when I started Bible school that Monday, I had 30-something kids on scooters behind me, just like this right here. And a lot of them got saved by the grace of God. They all put their head down that day. The people in my church said, we're sorry, preacher. We didn't mean to make fun of you. One of those kids that didn't come, his name's Derek. He got into drugs and become a drug dealer and went and spent 10 years in the jail. He got out of jail, went to the Salvation Army Rescue Mission in Portland, Maine, and got gloriously saved. He looked me up on social media and he said, you may not remember me, but I remember you. You used to drive through my neighborhood on a go-ped with balloons tied around your belt buckle. He said, I remember you trying to get me. He'd tell you the story of how he ruined and wrecked his life, but he was gloriously saved. They would have different backstories, but they would ultimately all end in the same story. It was this man named Jesus Christ who saved my soul. That story is waiting for all of you if you'll continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. May God help us. What's he saying to you this morning? What's he saying to you about faith from the first message? What's he saying to you about spiritual maturity? Are you growing or are you unhealthy? Are you malnutritioned? What's he saying to you? Are you going to do something about it? No, don't do something about it just because you peek during the invitation and you peek and watch other people. No. It's between you and the Lord. Do you really think you're going to fool the God of creation? It's not going to happen. This is between you and Him. What's He saying to you? Are you going to respond just because that's what you're trained to do? He's from a region, and I'm from a region, that if God doesn't do it, it just doesn't happen. You don't work up an invitation where we're from. We just had a supernatural week at our church. Many baptized, saved. Only God could do that. Altars full, running over. Very abnormal for our culture. But God. What's he saying to you this morning? Are you going to do something about it? Are you going to be grounded and settled? Spiritually mature in Christ, increasing in faith. Our pianist is coming. I wonder this morning if through these emphasized sessions that our brother has become very impassioned about, and asking God to do something. Not even planning to preach, but yet to coordinate, but yet God used him in this area of faith this morning. I'm wondering what God will do from a meeting just like this. Maybe there would be such a church planting revival, churches being started all over not just our nation, but around the world. Because there's been spiritual maturity, grounded and settled, continuing, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. May God help us. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the Bible. Our lives are transformed because of the Holy Scriptures. Where would we be was it not for the light of the Word of God? I thank you for speaking to us this morning out of the Scriptures, using the Word of God to transform our lives. May these decisions that are made today not be hasty, but may they be well thought out in obedience to the Spirit of God's promptings in these lives. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in my life. Thank you for the maturity that, Lord, I'm sensing that I'm growing in areas in my own life. Lord, you're helping me. I want to be like you, Lord. Help us in Christ's name. Amen.